Welcome to day 41 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, and we are journeying with the children of Israel out in the wilderness, being led by Moses here in the book of Exodus. So today's reading comes from Exodus chapters 33, 34, and 35, beginning at Exodus 33, verse 1. We are reading from the Amplified Bible today. The Lord said to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought from the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it.' I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, and Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go up among you, for you are a stiff-necked people, lest I destroy you on the way." When the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'You are a stiff-necked people. If I should come among you for one moment, I would consume and destroy you. Now therefore, penitently leave off your ornaments, that I may know what to do with you.'" And the Israelites left off all their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Now Moses used to take his own tent and pitch it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting of God with his own people. And everyone who sought the Lord went out to that temporary tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. When Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people rose and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the door of the tent, and the Lord would talk with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud stand at the tent door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man at his tent door. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Moses returned to the camp, but his minister Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the temporary prayer tent. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor in my sight.' Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, perceiving and recognizing and understanding more strongly and clearly, that I may find favor in your sight. And Lord, do consider that this nation is your people." And the Lord said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." And Moses said to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up from here. For by what shall it be known that I and your people have found favor in your sight? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinguished, I and your people, from all the other people upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do this thing also that you have asked, for you have found favor, loving kindness, and mercy in my sight, and I know you personally and by name." And Moses said, "I beseech you, show me your glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you. For I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy and loving kindness on whom I will show mercy and loving kindness." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place beside me, and you shall stand upon the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." chapter 34. The Lord said to Moses, "Cut two tables of stone like the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were on the first tables which you broke. Be ready and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mountain, neither let flocks or herds feed before that mountain." So Moses cut two tables of stone like the first, and he rose up early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with them there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping mercy and loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." And Moses made haste to bow his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, "If now I have found favor and loving kindness in your sight, O Lord, let the Lord, I pray you, go in the midst of us, although it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance." And the Lord said, "Behold, I lay down afresh the terms of the mutual agreement between Israel and me, a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels, wonders, miracles, such as not have been wrought or created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing, fearful and full of awe, that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I drive out before you the Amorite, Canaanite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, and Jebusite. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant or mutual agreement with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it become a snare in the midst of you. But you shall destroy their altars, dash in pieces their pillars, obelisks, and images, and cut down their asherim, symbols of the goddess Asherah. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous, impassioned God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and when they play the harlot after their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and one invites you, you eat of his food sacrificed to idols, and you take of their daughters for your sons, and their daughters play the harlot after their gods, and make your sons play the harlot after their gods. You shall make for yourselves no molten gods. The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread as I commanded you in the time of the month of Abib, for in the month of Abib you came out of Egypt. All the males that first open the womb among your livestock are mine, whether ox or sheep. But the firstling of a donkey, an unclean beast, you shall redeem with a lamb or kid. And if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none of you shall appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you shall work, but on the 7th day you shall rest. Even in plowing time and in harvest, you shall rest on the Sabbath. You shall observe the Feast of Weeks, the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. 3 times in the year shall all your males appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither shall any man desire and molest your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God 3 times in the year. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning. The first of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a kid in his mother's milk. And the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for after the purpose and character of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He ate no bread and drank no water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. When Moses came down from Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, he did not know that the skin of his face shone and sent forth beams by reason of his speaking with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they feared to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and he talked with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all the Lord had said to him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and told the Israelites what he was commanded. The Israelites saw the face of Moses, how the skin of it shone. And Moses put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with God. Chapter 35. Moses gathered all the congregation of the Israelites together and said to them, these are the things which the Lord has commanded that you do. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever works on that day shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwellings on the Sabbath. And Moses said to all the congregation of the Israelites, this is what the Lord commanded. Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing and generous heart, let him bring the Lord's offering. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet stuff, fine linen, goat's hair, and ram skins tanned red, and skins of dolphins or porpoises, and acacia wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for fragrant incense, and onyx stones, and other stones to be set up for the ephod and the breastplate. And let every able and wise-hearted man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets or bases, the ark and its poles, with the mercy seat and the veil of the screen, the table and its poles and all its utensils, and the showbread, bread of the presence, the lampstand also for the light, and its utensils and its lamps, and the oil for the light, and the incense altar and its poles, the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, the hanging or screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the laver and its base, the court's hangings, its pillars, their sockets or bases, and the hanging or screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and of the court and their cords, the finely wrought garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the high priest and for his sons to minister as priests. Then all the congregation of the Israelites left Moses' presence. And they came, each one whose heart stirred him up and whose spirit made him willing, and brought the Lord's offering to be used for the new tent of meeting, for all its service and the holy garments. They came, both men and women, all who were willing-hearted, and brought brooches and earrings or nose rings and signet rings and armlets or necklaces, all jewels of gold, everyone bringing an offering of gold to the Lord. And everyone with whom was found blue or purple or scarlet stuff or fine linen or goat's hair or ram skin made red and tanning or dolphin or porpoise skins brought them. Everyone who could make an offering of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found any acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who had ability and were wise-hearted spun with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue and purple and scarlet stuff and fine linen. And all the women who had ability and whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun the goat's hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, the spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. The Israelites brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all men and women whose hearts made them willing and moved them to bring anything for the work of the Lord, which the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done. And Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and wisdom, with intelligence and understanding, and with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting of stones for setting, and in carving of wood, for work in every skilled craft. And God has put in Bezalel's heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with wisdom of heart and ability to do all manner of craftsmanship, of the engraver, of the skillful workman, of the embroider in blue, purple, and scarlet stuff, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of those who do or design any skilled work." This is the end of today's scripture reading. In our opening chapter that we read, chapter 33 here in Exodus, it begins with a command from the Lord for Moses to depart, go up from here, and take the people of Israel into the land which the Lord had promised to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the next verse says, "I will send an angel with you before you and drive out the people of the land and then go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, for you are a stiff-necked people, lest I destroy you on the way." And then the next verse tells us that the people mourned when they heard these words. So up until this point, up until the time of this great sin of the camp of Israel turning back from the Lord and worshiping the golden calf, the presence of God had literally been going with them along the way, guiding them along the way, protecting them along the way of the wilderness. But here, the Lord is so upset about their backsliding against him that he said, "I'm not going to go with you. You're so stiff-necked, the people, that I could destroy you because of your sin. I could be just so angry with you because of what I see. I'm going to send my angel before you, and then the angel will drive out the enemy armies that you're going to face." This was a grievous statement to the heart of the people as well as to the heart of Moses, because what had absolutely set them apart from every nation was that they had God present with them, moving with them, guiding them, and leading them along the way. And yet here, the Lord is telling them, "I'm not going up with you. Go ahead and go. I'm not going, but I will send an angel as my second in command here to take you up." But Moses couldn't bear the idea. The people, even though they had been so rebellious and disobedient, they also mourned at the very idea of it. And it's interesting that we find in this first chapter that Moses made his own tent and pitched it outside the camp, a place to meet with the Lord, because this was prior to their construction of the tabernacle, which the Lord had instructed Moses how to make it. And we read in these chapters that he starts to take up the collection of the items needed to construct the tabernacle according to God's design. But until it was built, Moses used to take his own tent and pitch it outside the camp. Far from the camp, the scripture says, and most commentators feel that it was almost a mile outside of the camp. And Moses called this tent the tent of meeting. And after the tabernacle's built, it then starts to be referred to also as the tent of meeting. But it says, everyone who sought the Lord went out to that temporary tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it's so fascinating. So we see that in the midst of these rebellious people, there were still people who sought the Lord. And they would go out to that tent and try to pursue God and try to meet with God. And it says that when Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would stand up and they would look at Moses until he went into the tent. And then when he would go in the tent, that the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the door of the tent. And there the Lord would talk with Moses. So we see this beautiful picture of God's continuing to commune with his servant Moses, who has been very faithful to him, and Moses the intercessor, who didn't allow the Lord to destroy the people, though they well deserved it. But still, the Lord was speaking with Moses face to face, it says in verse 11 of chapter 33, as a man speaks with his friend. And so the Lord would give him instruction, then Moses would come out of the tent and go give the people the instruction. But one of the most fascinating verses in this chapter is the second part of verse 11. It says, Moses returned to the camp, but his minister, Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the temporary prayer tent. So here we see something very interesting. Moses, of course, had to go back out to the people, tell them what the Lord said, but his servant, his minister, and the word minister, it means servant, so his servant, Joshua, a young man, did not depart from the temporary prayer tent. So here we find a man, young man, who has a heart after God, doesn't want to leave God's presence. Now that is a beautiful picture. Are you a young person? Are you somebody who loves the presence of God, loves to worship the Lord, loves to pray? You're like Joshua, one who doesn't want to depart from the prayer tent. That is a beautiful picture. And you know, this is the place, that place where Joshua is staying in the tent of meeting, wanting to just commune with the Lord. That is the place where Joshua is receiving a good deal of his leadership training. Certainly going with Moses, watching Moses operate, how he handled the problems of each day, how he handled the people's rebellion, how he followed the Lord. All of those things, because of Joshua's up close and personal association with the great man of God, Moses, was great on the job training for Joshua, who would become the next leader of Israel. But of course, he didn't know that at that time. He was a young man. But a good portion as well of his leadership training, and in a way his leadership test, was the fact that he loved to be in the presence of God, and he wouldn't leave the tent even when Moses left. So when Moses would go out, Joshua did not follow him. He stayed in that temporary prayer tent. He loved to be in the presence of God. He was a man who really loved the Lord as a young man. And that is the place where God began to train him for the destiny that he had for Joshua, which was to be a great warrior leader of the people of Israel. I love that verse. Moses returned to the camp, but his servant Joshua, a young man, did not depart from the tent. It's a beautiful picture. It's a challenge to all of us. Are we as diligent as Joshua in wanting to hear God's voice and wanting to spend time with the Lord in the midst of the busyness of our schedules? we must take time to get away, as Joshua did, and just to stay in the tent of meeting with the Lord. And another fascinating thing about this chapter is that, again, Moses, the man of God, has influence with the Lord, and Moses was not pleased when the Lord told him he wasn't going up with them. In fact, he told the Lord, "If your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up from here." In other words, I'm not going any farther if you're not going any farther. I am not going up without you. And that was such beautiful wisdom and such beautiful petition to the Lord, because he's basically not accepting the Lord's word that he's going to send an angel with him and not go himself. Moses is like, if you're not going, I'm not going. And that's a beautiful thing. It's how God wants us to be, that we don't want to go anywhere that God is not going. We don't want to visit any place that God's not with us. We don't want to undertake any pursuit or project or idea if God's not in it. That is exactly what Moses was saying. If you're not going, I'm not going. Because he wanted to do one thing: stay close to the Lord, move with the Lord, and do only what the Lord wanted him to do. But not, he didn't want to leave the presence of God, much like his servant Joshua. So that is a great word right here in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. And he again intercedes. For by what will it, how are we going to be known that we're your people and have found favor in your sight if you don't go with us? And isn't it your going with us that has distinguished us from all the other people on the face of the earth? And again, the Lord gave in to Moses' prayer. He answered his prayer. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight. I know you personally and by name. So that was a beautiful picture of intercession before the Lord. And the Lord loved Moses' heart, that he didn't want to go anywhere without God. And that's the heart God wants us to have. And God is happy to answer that prayer for you. Lord, I'm not going up unless you're going up. If you say don't go, I am not going. And that's a problem for a lot of people today. They have great ideas. They think this is of the Lord. And they're going to go pursue something. And the Lord has no intention of going up with you, because that's not his plan. And you haven't sought him to find out whether that's God's will or not. It was just a great idea you had. Well, it's not a great idea if it's not God's idea. It may sound good to your natural mind and appeal to your flesh, but if it's not the Lord, you don't want to go without him. You want to be like Moses. If you're not going up, I'm not going up. And that's the heart of God for each of his children, that we just want to stay close to the Lord and do only what it is that God wants us to do. And with that, we have God's protection. And with that, we have his direction. Because if he's with you, he can say, turn to the right, turn to the left, stop, wait. And you can hear those directions and you can obey, and you will be blessed in it. But without it, you are setting yourself up for disaster. And then the next petition that Moses makes is fascinating, really. And again, he is answered by the Lord. He asks the Lord, show me your glory. He's already seen the Lord. He's been with the Lord. He's had a manifestation of the Lord's glory, in a sense, the Shekinah glory, the bright presence of God in that tent of meeting. He's been with the Lord. He's been with the Lord on the mountain. So he has seen it. But being with God only makes a person crave more of God. That is the truth. And that's exactly what we see here with Moses. He has been with God on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights twice since we've read. And there's more times he's going to go up to the mountain with the Lord. But in those times, the Lord is there. From down in the valley, it looked like the fire of God was on the mountain. It looked like a cloud was covering the mountain. All these different manifestations. And yet, even with all that, hearing God's voice, getting God to give you the tables of stone written with his own finger, all the amazing things that Moses has experienced, still with that, he begs the Lord, I beseech you, show me your glory. So He craves more of the Lord. He craves more of his presence. He craves to know the Lord more than ever. And the Lord, again, answers him. His relationship with Moses is so priceless, but it's a relationship that we can have as well. And Moses gets his prayer answered. The Lord puts him in the cleft of a rock, covers it with his hand, and passes by, and then only lets him see his backside as he's going by, so that he sees a measure, so to speak, of his glory, and he has his prayer answered in that way. And the Lord tells him, "You have found favor in my sight." What a beautiful picture of a relationship between somebody who just longs after, loves, and craves the presence of God, and a God who so loves that kind of heart toward him. That's what God wants for all of us. I encourage you this week, do like Moses and like Joshua did. Get outside your camp. Get away from the busyness of where you live and the people you have to be around and the work you have to do and even your family gatherings. Get outside the camp. Go away somewhere. It doesn't have to be far. You can go to a park in your city. You can go somewhere where there's some quiet and some separation. You may say, "Well, I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have any money." It doesn't take money to get away. You can take a walk somewhere where it's quiet and just commune with the Lord. Spend time alone with the Lord. Be a Joshua who doesn't want to leave the tent of meeting, the place where God's presence is dwelling. That's what God wants for each one of us. And in with it, he will train you. And with it, he will prepare you for your destiny. And with doing so, he'll prepare you for leadership. And in that time of being with God, he'll give you direction as well. And that's what we all need, every one of us. So spend time this week alone with the Lord. And let the Lord just speak to you and pour out on you his favor, his loving kindness, and his mercy. Because he does know you personally and by name, as he said to Moses. God bless you. Have a great week.